love him. You're glad. He's traveled a long way. Come on.
Make an impact. It's really all about making an impact. When so I'll just tell you, this is my wife Carol, most beautiful woman in the world right here. She's amazing. You know, why she ever married me is like, you know, it's a miracle from God. I mean, it's just amazing. And so we pastored in Rhode Island. 1992, we started our first church in Rhode Island. And then from that church, we started three other churches. And my goal was to start a church a year. And so we started three churches in 3 years. It was a lot of fun. And just as that was ending, a friend of mine came to our church. He was from Indonesia. And he just stood up. He said, "Hi, my name is Jeff. I'm from Indonesia." And the Holy Spirit just wrecked me. And for 3 days, I was unable to do anything but just lay on the floor and weep for Indonesia. So I said to Carol, I said, "We got to go there." We went there and visited, and then the Lord called us there. And so 10 years ago, we moved to Indonesia. And I thought God was powerful until I went to Indonesia, and I realized how powerful God is. If I could tell you what, you got to turn me down a little bit because I get a little excited. If I could say I learned one thing when I went to Indonesia, one thing and one thing only, is how absolutely powerful God is. I mean, we have seen so many miracles there. It's just so let me just tell you a couple, because these songs have kind of brought it out. Just the one who caused the blind to see. Just before we came back here, we got invited to a Muslim school for our medical team, and we always bring, you know, our doctors, our nurses, our volunteers, and then our prayer team. Always bring the prayer team. That's part of the medical team. I wish we'd get that. I wish we'd get that through our heads, you know. And so, like, what we do is we have them go through, and at the place where they do the prescription, which is usually like vitamins or whatever, nothing big. But we always say to the guy that's giving out the prescription, make them wait, just like America. No, anyways, but we, you know, we want them to wait, because while they're sitting, we send our prayer team around, and so. We got invited to this Muslim school, which was like kind of a miracle in itself, and a blind lady comes in. Just like the Bible, sees like blurry, and then we pray some more, and she gets her sight back. I mean, walks out of there seeing. And we went, because we do a lot of medical missions. My wife is a nurse practitioner, and so we do a lot of that kind of stuff. We went to this one place, and this guy comes in. He's a Balinese priest. And so my friend went over to pray for him. He said, "Can I pray for you?" And the Balinese priest said, "No, because no one under a high priest, like you have to be a high priest to pray for him, because he won't let anybody who's lower than him pray for him." So my friend points at me and goes, "He's a high priest." All right, I can be a high priest. I think I'm a high priest. That's what Jesus said I was. So he said, "All right, he can pray for me." And I go over, and he was deaf in one ear. He got his hearing back, and God just opened his ear up, and then he says, "Hey, can you come in and talk to our youth? They need help." I'm like, "Of course we can." I mean, over and over again, we have just seen one miracle after another miracle after another miracle. And I'll talk about this at the end if I ever get to it. Sometimes I don't have time. But anybody decent in math? You any good in math? Very simple. Okay, so let's say you pray, you know, for everybody that you pray for, 10% of the people that you pray for, you see instant miracles. Okay? Now, I believe something happens every time you pray. But let's just, you know, let's not talk about that yet. So let's say you pray for 10 people. How many instant miracles do you see? If you see 10%? You see, it's okay. You're nervous. That's all right. I know you get this right. It's okay. I love you, bro. It's all right. I'll give you a kiss. Make you feel better. Okay. But No, it's one. Right? If you pray for 10, you see one, right? That's 10%, right? So if you pray for 10, you see one miracle, that's 10%. If you pray for 100 people, 10. Right. So the principle is easy. The more people you pray for, the more miracles you see. You see, we got to get busy with praying for people. It's time that we stop like walking around and not praying for people. We teach our people to pray right on the spot. So, you know, if you're at work, you know, sorry, in the front row. You know, if you come up to someone at work, you know, and you're talking to them and they say, hey, you know, I got a bad elbow, you know. You don't say, hey, tonight I'll pray for you. No! Pray for them right then. And you don't need to go, oh, Jesus! You don't have to do that either. Jesus understands. You could just stand there and just say, Lord, just bless this lady. You know, help her elbow. We got to pray for more people. You'd be amazed at how many people get touched when you pray for them. Right then, right now, right on the spot. Don't wait. Am I the only one in fourth gear here? Okay, it's all right. So, but it's like, we've got to get busy. And in Indonesia, see, Indonesia is the fourth largest populated country in the world. It's the largest Muslim country in the world. And so, like in Bali, it's a mix. There's a lot of Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims that just, yeah. It's anybody like fishing? You like fishing? Okay, you and I, fishing contest. Okay? Fishing contest. All right, you pick a spot. You get one day to catch as many fish as you want. Okay, where would you go? Mangroves. You go to the mangroves, right? I win. I'm going to go to the fish market. Because you got to go where there's a lot of fish. You got to go where there's a lot of fish. Everybody's caught here already. You don't do any fishing here. It's time to go out and do some fishing. Go into the broken homes. I guarantee if I sat with you, I could tell you probably at least 25 people that you ran into this week don't know Jesus. Time to fish. That's why I like Indonesia. A lot of good fish in there. There's fishing everywhere. There's fish everywhere. So many different people, you know. And they have absolutely no background. Like, one of the things that Carol and I do, our heart, is to go into places that have never in all of history had a proclamation of the gospel. Like, never. Like, let's say I walked up to you and I said, listen, next time you pray, I want you to pray in the name of a Kursi. Anything? Nothing. Right? See, like, anywhere, anywhere in the United States, when you say Jesus, you know, something, whether it's good or bad or wrong or right, they're going to have some kind of background. But it's amazing when you meet someone who has never, ever heard that. By the way, that just means chair. That's just chair in Indonesian. That's all that is. But, like, you know, like, never, ever heard the name. You know, we had this one lady, she had never heard the name, and someone said to her, listen, when you pray, when you meditate, meditate on Jesus. And so, like, that's all she had is a word. Like, that's all it was. And she told me when she was meditating on it, she started feeling something. Now, she couldn't speak Indonesian, and she couldn't speak English. She was Chinese. And we met her. She heard the name Jesus. We spent about 3 hours with her. She came to Jesus, her whole family. We baptized her whole family. And then, you want to talk about power and fun. So then she wants to have a Bible study at her house with all these Chinese people. Well, I didn't say it to her through, like, translation. And we didn't have someone who speak English go right to Mandarin. We didn't have anybody like that. You can't do English to Indonesian to Mandarin in a Bible. You just can't do it. Just take too long and it just won't work. So she said, I have someone. So I'm like, okay, cool. So it was a Thursday night. We show up. There's like eight Chinese people there. And she's got her translator with her who spoke beautiful English and was Chinese, spoke Chinese. She was Buddhist. So I got a Buddhist translating my Bible study. It was so much fun. You know, I'm talking away, and I'm teaching, and she would stop. Jesus isn't Lord. Just keep going. Just keep going. One day, she comes in. All of a sudden, she's like, Jesus is Lord. There's nothing better. Nothing better. You know, I used to think, I may never get to this stuff. I used to think when you go to heaven, like I used to say, I'm going to throw all my crowns at God's feet, right? The Bible says we're going to cast all our crowns, right? So I used to think, I'm going to take all my gifts and all my talents, and I'm just going to, everything I did, I'm just going to throw it because he's deserving of all of it. Until I read Philippians chapter 2. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he says to the Philippian church, he says, you are my crown. So I get this picture that Paul comes before Jesus and he goes, you see all the people I led to you, Lord? They're my crown. I cast them at your feet. Come on, people. We need to make an impact. And trust me, we need to make an everlasting impact. And I'll tell you what that is. That's leading someone to Jesus Christ. There is nothing better. Don't you want someone, you know, to just walk up to you, you know, and say, hey, thank you so much. You know, they're in heaven. They walk up to you and they go, hey, thank you so much for introducing me to Jesus. You know, heaven's a great place. It's really cool. It's really nice here. They're not going to do that, man. They're going to jump on you. They're going to hug you. They're going to kiss you 100 times. They're going to say, thank you so much for introducing me to Jesus. Don't you want just one to say that to you in heaven? Come on, people. This is what it's all about. There is nothing greater. There is nothing. We talked about it in all the songs. We're going to give our whole life. And that's, I want to talk about ingredients for impact, okay? Just simple ingredients. The first one is giving yourself fully to someone. At least one. And you have to exclude your family. What I mean by that is you're going to do that for your family. You're going to do it for your family. You'll give, when Carol and I were in Indonesia, my daughter married an Indonesian man, and they gave us our first grandchild. When she was born with transposition of the great arteries. Hey, sorry, man. Sorry, Marty. I don't know. In the name of Jesus. Anyways, okay. You know, and like, I mean, I'm praying to God, God, take my heart. Give her a good heart. I would give myself to my grandchild. I'd give everything. I'd give every piece. I used to think before I had kids, I used to say to God, I'm telling you, quietly, I'd say, God, you're selfish, man. You didn't give yourself, you gave your son. What the heck? Until I had a kid. Then I said, okay, now I understand. Now I understand, man. I'd give myself up way before I ever gave my kids up. Way before I ever gave my grand. I'd die in a second without a thought. We got to give our lives to people. When we're on an island called Bali. We work on two islands, island of Bali, and the island next door is Lombok. Lombok is, the nickname of Lombok is the island of the mosques. There's more mosques per capita there than anywhere else. And up in the north, there's a place called Senaru. We got an open door there. I mean, when I say open door, we got an opportunity to go there. And so we went and, see, just so you understand what you're asking us to do, okay? I really want you to understand because I really want to go to 5 groups of people I want to get 5 never heard the gospel. I want to get into 5. We're in 2 right now. I want to get into 5. I told Carol, if I get into 5, I can die. She said, hurry up. But I really want to get it. I want those because every tribe of every nation of every language, this is what we're called to do. And so up in the north, there's a place, Senaru. It's 100% Islam. And so here's what you're asking me to do. Imagine that you're in a neighborhood and in the house that you were, that neighborhood, they're all Christian. And you grew up in a house, your father grew up in that house, his father, you know, 10, 12, 14 generations, same house. Everybody in the neighborhood, same. And you're all Christians, and you all know each other because you've all grown up. Every family knows everybody, right? It's an entirely enclosed Christian neighborhood for generations. And all of a sudden, 4 Muslims start walking down the street talking to your kids about Allah. How do you think that neighborhood would react? Not too good. That's exactly what you're asking me to do. Why do you think that you say, well, look at them, they get so mad. Yeah, you would too. So we don't do that. See, God showed us something. He revealed something to us and he said, listen, he said, do you love them? And that was an interesting question. I really had to think about it for a while. And then we decided, yes, we are going to love them completely. Now, let me say something to you. If you love somebody for any other reason but to love them, you don't love them. If you love them to convert them, you're a salesperson. You got to love them. You got to give yourself fully, just like Jesus Christ did. He gave himself fully. He had nothing left, not even his clothes. He gave everything up for just an opportunity to have a child. And so we decided that we were going to love this place. We did 21, 23 medical clinics. We did disaster relief programs. We did all kinds of stuff. And I trained this guy. His name was Agun, and I trained him to mentor him. And he fell in love with this place. And he said, I want to live there. But you can't live there unless you're invited. You don't just walk in there and live. No. So one day we had this big thing and all the leaders were there. They were sitting next to me. I said, I don't know why you're sitting next to me. Agun's the leader. And oh, by the way, he loves you guys. And if you ask him, he might come and live with you. 2 months later, official paperwork. Agun, please come in. First Christian to ever be invited to come and live among 100% Islam. It was the most beautiful thing. And then just recently, last year, they went through 30 earthquakes in 70 days, 300 aftershocks. Okay, so basically the ground shook for 70 days. Everything in that village, gone. No electricity, no water, no nothing. Gone. And no houses. Every house is just, it looked like a bomb went off. I call my Agun. I said, Agun, I said, listen, I'll get you out of there. I'll get your family out of there. You come down. You can live in the city. I'll take care of you. You're my boy. You know, go live in the hotel, you know, as long as it takes until everything gets settled. And he says, Pastor, I can't do that. Now's the time to help. Now's the time to give to these people. This, I can't leave them. They're my family. I'm like, you know, so much for being spiritual. You know what I'm saying? You know, Carol's a couple years ago, Carol's walking, because we've been in that village now 7 years. Carol's walking along with a girl, and, you know, I'm a Christian. I can't tell my family. You know, first Christians coming to Jesus in a place like that, let me tell you, there ain't nothing better. There's nothing better. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? You got to give yourself fully to someone without reservation, without thought. We just sang it. We sang it over and over again. God, I give myself. Yeah, until he asks something from you. I was so excited during that announcement. I'm so excited because, you know, God doesn't give us anything that we don't need. Okay? All right? How many? Anybody here come today? Pretty much everybody probably came in a car if you had one. You know, if you have a car, right? Okay, why do you think he gave you two extra seats in the back? Because you need them. You need them. Don't say, meet me at church. Go get them. Say, I'll make some coffee. We'll have some coffee. I'll bring some donuts. Come on now. Why do you think you have that extra stuff? You know, my wife and I, we had a house back in Rhode Island. And when we were building it, my builder said, hey, if we do this, I can get an extra room. Caroline said, you know what? We'll have missionaries stay at our house when they come. One missionary, one night. How many people do we have live with us? More and more people just came and lived. These people who were abused, who had been, you know, and I remember talking to one of the girls that were living with us, and I said to her, she was like really, she had been abused. She'd been raped in college, abused by her doctor. It was a mess. She was a mess. And like, she's like, why do you have me here? I said, because I want you to know there's one person who loves you completely with no reservations. You need to know there's one person. People need to know there's one person. Give yourself. Second thing is that you need to make sure that you get with the right group of people. Now, oftentimes when you hear that, you hear, hey, you know, this group. Yes, you need two groups. You need two groups. One group that affects you. This is this group. They affect you. That's the group you need. Spur each other on to faith and good works, right? You need each other. You need each other. right? But then there's a second group. The second group is the people that you affect. You know, in Bali, I don't know, Pastor, if you knew about the holiday there, it's called Nyepi. It's a holiday. What they do is they build these, these demons. They're like, 15 feet tall, that kind of stuff. They literally paper mache. I mean, they're huge. They have to duck to go under wires, so the telephone wires, because they're that big. And they do this big parade, and they march. It's like a demon march. I'm not kidding you. The demon march. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to stir up all the spirits in the city. This is what they're thinking. They stir up all the spirits to come out of their houses, come out of the trees and stuff, and then go up into the sky. And then after that, they all stay in the house. Everybody stays in the house. No one's allowed on the street, and all the lights off. It's pitch black. And the thought is, now the spirits can't find their way back. That's what they're thinking is. First night, first time we went through that, I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. Because there's not one light on in all the city. You know, it's just pitch black. And I'm sitting in my room. I take out my match. I said, "Oh, you darkness, take that. You can't even put out a little tiny light? What kind of power do you have? You got no power. You can't even put out a little tiny match. All the darkness in the city can't put out, because light always affects darkness. If you go in to a place that's dark and you get affected, it says nothing about the place that you go in. It says everything about your power. We are supposed to go into places to affect them. You know, like I love hanging out. I actually like hanging out with guys who don't know Jesus. I find it quite fun. You know, I don't worry about when they swear. I don't worry about that stuff. They're going to do it. Let them do it. So what? You know, I had this one guy, I like playing golf. This one guy, he liked to play golf, so I played golf with him, you know. At the end of it, you know, and then a couple times I invited him to come to our Sunday morning. He came, you know, and so like afterwards, after one of the golf rounds, they're all kind of tying one on, and I'm sitting there with him. And all of a sudden he says to his buddies, he goes, "You guys need to come to this guy's like gathering on Sunday morning." Right? And they all look at me. I said, "Hey, I'm not going to say anything. You, go ahead, you tell him what it's like." And he's like, "You know, when you go, like, there's a lot of people, they're all happy and everything, and they do karaoke on the screen, and it's what it is. The only difference is no white light. That's the only difference." Right? They do karaoke on the screen. She goes, and then Don, he says a couple things, makes you think. We're supposed to have unbelievers among us all the time. That's what's supposed to happen. And they're supposed to be jealous of our love. You know, if you have friends tell friends problems. Friends tell friends. They're not going to tell. No one's going to tell you their problems if they're not your friend. You know, and so what happens is, like, problems are God's opportunity to reveal himself. This is what's going on. And so, you know, if you hang out with them, then they start telling their problems. I had this guy, Bilal, a Muslim guy. And he, you know, I used to tell him, you know, I used to just be friends, just his friend. And then all of a sudden he called me up one day and he's like, "Oh, my girlfriend left me, blah, blah, blah," you know. And I said, "Oh, well," and then I start telling him what I do when I have sadness or I have difficulty. Well, I read the Bible. These are some of the verses that God helps me with, you know. So then he starts coming on Sunday mornings and he's crying. Comes up to me and goes, "Pastor, how come every time I come, I'm crying?" I'm like, "You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. You know, Holy Spirit's all over them. But if you're not their friends, why would they ever talk to you?" So you need people, the right kind of people to hang around with. Let's just go to the last thing because I'm out of time. Go ahead, keep going, keep going, keep going. Yeah, right there. I already talked about praying on all occasions. We need to be praying on all occasions. You would be amazed at how often, you know, okay, John chapter 4. Anybody know John chapter 4? The woman at the well? Okay, woman at the well, right? Now, everybody know that story? Married 5 times, living with somebody, right? Living with somebody, right? So now she's talking to Jesus, right? And then she realizes Jesus is the Messiah. Like, she just gets it like a revelation. Whoa, you're the Messiah. She goes, "I want to go and tell everybody in the town about you," Right? But if you have to, now probably the pastors know this because they study the Greek. But you guys would never catch this if you didn't study the Greek. Okay? Because if you go deep in the Greek, when that lady says, "I want to go and tell, you know, everybody about you," Jesus says, "Oh no, you need to go to how to share me class. How to, you know, you need to learn about the doctrinal truths about who I am before you can start sharing with somebody. Oh, you need to clean up your act before you share the gospel with somebody." No! The first evangelist in the Bible was a woman who was married 5 times and and living with somebody. You know, we come up to somebody, it's time to pray for somebody. We're like, first thing we do is, "Oh God, I know I haven't been like really prayed up." Do you realize that God doesn't really care about you when you're praying for somebody? Can I be honest? I mean, I don't want to sound like God doesn't care about you, but he doesn't really care about you. See, when you pray for somebody, guess what? His name is on the line. His name is on the line. Not yours, his. And he doesn't like his name tarnished. He likes to see what's going on. I cannot believe how we've seen deaf ears open, blind eyes open, lame people walk. We did this clinic one time. This lady came out. Carol does, she does the nursing. I do the praying. So I always say we catch everything. She does the physical. I do the spiritual. We catch it all. And they come out. There's 3 ladies. You know, one lady is, they had 2 daughters. They're about 30 years old. And she has a bad knee, so I pray for her. And I don't have the gift of healing, okay? But God said to pray. At least one person got it. So I pray for her. And all of a sudden, she's like, "Whoa, my knee feels good." And I pray for the other daughter. The other daughter's got a back problem. She's like, "Wow." She goes, "Why does my back feel better?" You know? And then we pray for this other lady, her mom, and the mom is deaf. She gets her hearing back. You know, and I said, "Hey, Pastor Hendrick, guy I've trained, he's in that village now, he's going to come over and see you tomorrow. Is that okay?" "Oh, yeah." See, it's easy when God does something. But we got to pray all the time, on all occasions. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Go for it. Maybe 2 people in my whole life has said no when I said, "Can I pray for you?" It's not your problem if they say no. But when you pray, you give God problems. You know, and God's not up there going, you know, all nervous, going, "Oh, myself, oh, myself." You know, he's not up there doing that. He didn't have a problem with the problems you're giving him. I like to give God a lot of problems. See, this is how, and I'll finish up. My time is almost up here. I believe this is what happens. What happens in your life is you're walking along in life, right? Like you walk in the streets, or you're in your work or somewhere, right? And you see something that upsets you, like it's not right, it's injustice. I believe that that's the Holy Spirit saying, "Change it." Not complain about it. Not solve it over coffee. Give your life to it and change it, right? And so what happens is, I believe that God like gives you this idea. All of a sudden, like you see it, and this idea, "I should help that," or "I should be a part of that," or "Let's do this." You know, it comes up into your mind, right? And if you go, "I don't have enough time to help them," or "I don't have enough money," I believe that that idea just floats away. Now, I don't think God gets mad at you or anything. I believe he just floats it away to someone else who's willing to say yes. What makes you think that God will actually give you everything you need when you start? Duh! There's no faith in that. There's no faith in that. All right, give me a chair. This is why some of you are bored. This is why some of you are bored. This is why you're bored. This is why you get bored in your faith, okay? God says to you, "Okay, step up on that chair. First time, oh boy, okay, I'm a little nervous. See if that, make sure, you know, is it, you know, okay, yep, I step up. All right, check it, okay, I'm all right, you know?" And then you do it again. Then you do it again, all right? And you keep doing it. Pretty soon, no faith in this,
I've done this 100 times. I can start doing tricks. I can start doing tricks. God says, no, 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 no. See, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Once you've done something a few times, it's over. Now you have to do something greater. You have to give more. You have to sell out more. You have to take greater steps of faith. You know, we were Carol and I have had the privilege of baptizing like over 200 Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. I mean, it's been off the charts crazy. We just baptized a whole Buddhist family like 2 weeks ago. I mean, we weren't there, but our crew is doing this. I mean, it's just amazing what's happening. And it's just because we're just going for it. We're just trying. And so we got this idea to build a conference center on top of the parking garage in the mall. Did you go to the mall, Bali Galleria? We built a conference center on top of that. We had 150 people, and we got permission to build that thing in 30 minutes. Yeah, sounds great, doesn't it? Then we said yes. And then we're like, what the heck did we just say yes to? We didn't have any money. And now that building is built. 98% of that building was financed by Indonesians, not by Americans. They gave their money, they gave their time, they gave their sweat, they gave, and now we see people coming to Jesus. Sometimes I'm not worshiping in that place. Sometimes I'm standing over here, and like, you know, everybody's worshiping, and I just got my hands up, but I'm looking around, I'm going, man, I love to see it, you know, Saskia and Nusan and Putra and Bill Dute, all these guys that came to Jesus. I'm just like, then I stop worshiping. Then I stop worshiping because, man, these guys like Bill Dute, he said he never would ever come to church. He never wanted Jesus. And now he says, all I want to be is an instrument in his hands. Nusan, I'll tell this, and then I'm going to stop because I'm over. And I promise, this is the last story. When we first started the gathering, don't do this at home. I met this girl. I didn't know anybody in the city. I met this girl who played piano. She was a mess. We cleaned her up, and she's an amazing piano player. Just loves Jesus. Just pours out of her. She found a bass player, and then she found a guitar player. We didn't have a drummer. So we met this guy, Nusan. Nusan was a Buddhist. He said, can I play with you? So we said, sure. Sunday mornings, we got a Buddhist on our worship team. He's in the back just playing away. We did communion. And I'm like, he doesn't even know what communion is. So I said, Nusan, just be quiet. Don't say anything. I'll talk to you about it later. Don't worry about it. So at the end, everybody left. I'm just standing there talking to Nusan. And I told him all about it. I said, would you like to take communion? And he said, yes. But trust me, I believe everything in me. I believe that he didn't know what he was doing. I believe he was saying to himself, you guys are spiritual. You're happy. You're in touch with God. And you do that. So if I do that, that will happen to me. But then, 2 weeks later, in a Bible study, he's praying, Jesus, thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you, Lord God, for changing my life and giving me eternal life. And I mean, I'm crying. He's looking at me like, why are you crying? Because he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Trust me. Don't worry if you don't know anything. Don't worry if you're not sure. Don't worry about your life, because your life is already set. You know, God will work despite you. despite who you are, he will work. Because why? Because he loves the person that you're giving your life to. He loves them. He wants to see them come to him. He wants them. His eyes are not on you. His eyes are on that person. And he's excited that you're finally talking about him. Because God doesn't need a salesman. He doesn't need a lawyer. What he needs is an introduction. And he'll do the rest. So let's pray. I feel like... forgive me for my cough. I just feel like there's some people here that God has been telling that they need to go and give their lives to some people. And I want to pray for you tonight. I just want to pray for you tonight. So if that's you, if you say, you know what, God's been kind of eating at me to go and to befriend this person and to love them and to give my life to them. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. That's, you know, I'll be gone after this, so don't worry. You know, amen, amen, amen. All right. Lord, I pray that they would not hold back one thing. And Father, they would continue to give their lives completely to these people. That Father, hallelujah, these people would realize that there is one person who loves them completely, totally. Father, I pray that they would so give their lives, it would be just like you did for us. Because I know when they do that, Lord God, hallelujah, your spirit will just take off. And Lord God, you will do some great things in their lives. So bless them and keep them, Lord God. Empower them. Lord, don't let them forget. Holy Spirit, bind it into their minds not to forget. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Brother Don, I'm just so convicted standing here tonight. You give your life to people. He didn't tell you the whole part of that. You give your life to people, and there'll be a time. That same person that you laid your life down, pull your heart out, cut it into 100 pieces, step on it, and turn away and walk away from it. Come back up here. Don't leave me hanging up here alone, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. That is the other part of it. And I don't say that to tell you not to, because God empowers you through that process. It's not always easy and it's not always fun. But you need to do it. I said you need to do it. It's the part of every Christ follower's calling. When you said yes to Jesus, that was the beginning of you giving your life, not once in a while, not when it's convenient. We went to lunch the other day at that taco place. How many of you know where I'm talking about? Hey, you bunch of taco fiends, you. Went late. It's 1:30, 1:45. Two places to sit in there. There's a gentleman sitting over at the table. I'm waiting for my water. Ryan and Paulie, they go over. So I hear him immediately. They're talking to this guy. Then I hear he tells him that he's going through colon cancer. Paulie's ears perked up like a German shepherd that hadn't eaten in a month, and there was meat. Prayed for him, and then he says, have you ever given your heart to Jesus? And right while we're eating a chicken taco with jalapenos and hot sauce on it, and that man says, no. He said, do you want to give your heart to Jesus? He said, yes, at the taco place. You know what he said to us? And then he started to tell us, before he had the cancer, that he had a blood clot. He was laying in his house alone for, I don't know, 6-8 hours, and somebody finally came. He said, I thought I was going to be shoveling coal that day. I'd never heard that. I go, shoveling coal? He goes, yeah, shoveling coal in hell. And that man gave his heart to the Lord right there. What you said, pray for more people. Come on, who really wants to step over the line? Stand to your feet right now. If that's you. If you don't want it, don't stand up. But if you do, you're going to go the distance. You'll give it all to Him. Let it happen tonight. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon not only this house, but this people. I thank you for sending your servant from halfway around the world to deliver your word to us. Tonight, I pray, God, Oh God, take us into depths and places that we never dreamed before. Help us not just to talk about it, but to do it. For some, we're going to enter into a new season, into a new dimension where we have to trust you in a brand new way. I pray, bring it on, Lord. We want it. Say, do it, Lord. Come on, everybody say, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Come on. Come on, say it. Say it like you're, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray. Carol, come on up and stand next to your husband. Stretch your hands out all over this house towards our brother and our sister. Tonight, we declare over their lives a hedge of protection, Lord, increase into their lives. Lord, the blessing of God to be their portion, God, for you to give them those other people groups that he has not even known or heard or seen of yet. We pray, Lord, for he, his family, and the ones that they love. God, that you would use them in a manifold way that they have never seen before. In the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, as you stretch your hands to him, say, I bless you. Come on, say it with some bombast. Say, I bless you in Jesus' name. Now we give you thanks and praise tonight for your servants. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Now there's a table up back. Do you have any, if somebody wants to give to you, do you have envelopes on that table? Okay. Carol, will you go back to the table there? And if you want to know, in fact, both of you, go back there. How many of you appreciate our pastor friend from Bali, Indonesia? This Sunday, on the heels of that message, two people, every one of you can invite at least two. Some of you can do more than that. Let's do it for this Sunday. Amen? On your way by there tonight, at least say thank you. Bless them on the way. I love you. Go in his grace. You need prayer for anything, come on down. I'll pray for you before you go tonight.